Okay, I think we're good. Oh, let me let somebody else in. Okay, so today is Ayin Aleph. I'm going to go to Ayin Amud Aleph on the bottom line just to pick up the background material. 70A, the bottom line, and today's 71. Okay, so this is page whatever. It's Ayin Amud Aleph, the bottom line. So, by many Rav and Rav Nachman, Rav posed the following question to Rav Nachman: Yoresh Ma Yushi Yivatel Rishut? Can a Yoresh be Mivatel Rishut? We know already that if it's a Jew, so he should be mishtatef in the Erev, he should participate in the Erev, but he wasn't participating in the Erev, then he could be mevatel the Rishut. So the question is, let's say a person's a Yoresh, his father passed away, now he Yarshined, maybe the father passed away on Shabbos, can he be mevatel Rishut? So the top line on Ayin would be, on one side, I could say that if the person had the ability to make an Erev before Shabbos, he has the possibility to also be Mevatel Rishut. But he says, this fellow who Yarshined the estate, he couldn't make the Erev before Shabbos. So maybe Beitel goes hand in glove with Erev. The ability to make an Erev, like an analog to that, is the ability to be Mevatel. So he didn't have the ability to be Ma'arev, so maybe he's out the door. Odim on line four, Yoresh Kare Davuahu. Or perhaps I see Yoresh is, Kare Davuahu is like the leg of the father, the knee of the father. Yoresh is like he's subrogated to his father's rights. Just like his father was able to be Mevatel Rishut, maybe he could be Mevatel Rishut. So the Gemara says, Amar Leh, so Rav Nachman said, Ani Omer Mevatel, I say he can be Mevatel. And this is the second side, that he can be Mevatel. He says, the Hani, the Beis Shmuel, the Tanuei Mevatel. These Talmidim from the Beis Medrash of Shmuel learn he can't be Mevatel. Okay? That's just the set piece to set you up for today's daf. Okay, everybody good? Robert, you're good? Everybody good? Nice to have you with us, Robert. Okay, let me go back now. So now I'm going to pick up two lines from the bottom. The Gemara is asking questions against Rav Nachman. So again, Rav Nachman says that the Yoresh can be Mevatel, even though he didn't own the estate before Shabbos. But if he Yarshins it on Shabbos, he can be Mevatel. So Tashma, so we bring Akash against Rav Nachman from the following Braisa. Yisrael Vager, Shiruyin b'megura achad. A Jew and a convert are living in one megura. Megura is a granary. It seems like a strange place to be. But the basic idea is they have different batim and they share a chatzer. So like they have different, it's like estates and land, Fern, you know, or Robert. It's like you have different names, but it's really the same concept. So Shiruyin b'megura achad, umeit ger mibon yom. The ger, the convert, dies on Friday. Now, when a convert dies, anybody can seize his estate. So now we don't understand this braisa, and we must be very patient. The top line in Ayin Aleph, Amud Aleph. So he says, "Af pi shehechzik Yisrael acher b'nechasav," even though another Jew took possession of his estate, of his property, he's oser. So that Jew will oser the remainder. So in other words, I have people were in the chatzer. And then the ger, he died, the ger dies here in this case on Friday. The ger dies on Friday. So, and now another Jew takes over the property. So he's going to be oser. But the Brisa says, even though another Jew took over the property, he's oser. He says, so it sounds like the implication would be that if he didn't take over, certainly he'd be oser. In other words, that's going to be difficult. In other words, it sounds like if nobody took over, he's Oser. And then even though another Jew took over, he's Oser. But it's hard to understand that flow. And then the next line, Mishecha, if the ger dies after nightfall on Friday night, he dies when it's already Shabbos, Afal pi shelo hechzik Yisrael acher, even though another Jew did not seize the property, Eino Oser, he doesn't Oser. And this, again, the Afal Pi means that the other case would be more simple. So it sounds like that, it sounds like if somebody was Machzik, he's also not Oser. We don't understand this Brisa, so we're going to have to clarify the Brisa. And then after we clarify the Brisa, we'll ask a question against Rav Nachman. So on line three, Hagufa Kasha, the Brisa is internally contradictory. Amri mi ba'od yom, Afal Pi shehechzik, below by a kilo hechzik. The first line of the braisa sounds like if the ger dies on Friday, even though a person seized the property. So we said he's oser. And it goes without saying, if he didn't seize the property, he's oser. So the Gemara says, adraba, that's just punkfakared. Ki lo hechzik lo aser. If nobody seizes the property, nobody will be aser the property. Will be aser, right? That's the idea. In other words, maybe there's two people with the ger and somebody else. So if nobody seizes the property, then it's just him by himself. So he shouldn't be asering it. So Amar Papa, Amos, or Papa says, the way I should understand the Braisa is afal pi shelo hechzik. In other words, not that afal pi shehechzik Yisrael, but afal pi shelo hechzik. He says, even though nobody was machzik, so he says, afal pi shelo hechzik, it's oser. That's what we think. So afal pi shehechzik etani, but that's not the words in the Braisa. So hachi kamar, the Gemara revises understanding again. Afal pi shelo hechzik mi ba'od yom. So the line afal pi shehechzik is afal pi shelo hechzik mi ba'od yom ela mi shecha shecha. In other words, he was machzik, but he was machzik after nightfall. So in other words, so another Jew seized the property after the ger dies on Friday. He dies noon on Friday, and then Friday night at 10 p.m., a Jew, I guess he's thinking he's going to win the lottery, comes in and seizes the property. He says, so in that case, that Jew is oser. So even though going into Shabbos, everything was fine. Let's say it's Reuven and the ger. Let's say Reuven and the ger, they share this chatzer. They share this chatzer. The ger dies on Friday at 12 noon. And then there's nobody in possession of the property going into Shabbos. So Reuven thinks, that's it. I'm good. I can carry now on the chatzer. There's nobody else to share it with. And then on Friday night at 10 p.m., Zvulun comes in, seizes the property. Now Zvulun asers on Reuven to carry. He says, El Mishech Shecha, came into Lehabale Lahachzik Mubudyom, Oser. So since he could have been Machzik when it was still during the day, he's going to Oser it. Okay, we'll just be a little bit patient, and we're going to get to here. We're going to get to it. Right. Okay. Okay, so let's see now the next piece. Mishecha Shecha, if, on the other hand, the ger dies after nightfall, let's say everybody entered into an Eruv, whatever, and then the ger died after nightfall, Af Pishlo Hechzik Yisrael Acher Eino Oser. So the Braisa says, even though another Jew did not seize it, it's still he doesn't oster the property. So Af Pishlo Hechzik Yisrael Acher Below Me Ba'ichi Hechzik. The implication of that is that it goes without saying, if somebody was machzik, he's not oser it. Adraba kehechzik asor. So Amara Papa, Ema afa pisha hechzik. So Papa says, like we said before, that even though he was machzik, he's ain't oser. But afa pisha lo hechzik katani, but language is just the opposite. So Gemara says, hachi kamar. Afa pisha hechzik mishecha sheicha. Even though the Jew, he seizes the property after nightfall, this is where the ger dies after nightfall. So the first case, the ger died Friday at 12 noon. This case, the ger dies, 9 p.m. Friday night. Afi shechzik mishecha shecha, even though the Jew seized the property after Shabbos began, came into lo habalei lahachzik mivod yom, since he didn't have even the potential to seize it during the day because the ger was still alive, ain't a woser, he doesn't aser it. Okay, let's just summarize for a minute, then we're going to ask our question. So the basic idea in the Braisa is, if I have a Jew and a ger are sharing a chatzer, and then if the ger dies on Friday at 12 noon, and then a Jew seizes it on Friday night, so that Jew osters the premises to Reuven. That's the case we're really after, that first case. Reuven can't carry in the chatzer. And the Gemara is going to ask, why can't the Jew who sees it be mevatel his reshut? That's going to be the question. In other words, it relates to Yoresh being Mevatel. If a Yoresh can be Mevatel, so this person who's seizing the property is the legal equivalent of a Yoresh. A Ger doesn't have a Yoresh, so this is like the legal equivalent of a Yoresh. So why can't he be Mevatel it? Then we learn that if the Ger dies on Friday night after Shabbos begins, and this is not the part that we need, and then a Jew seizes the property, so then the Ger entered into an Eruv with Reuven, Reuven is fine. He's nothing to worry about because this other person never had the chance on going into Shabbos to aser it. Okay? Now, Katani Mihat, Resha, But the bottom line, this whole brisa we quoted for the first case, oser. So again, where the ger dies Friday at noon, and our Jew seizes the property after Shabbos, he ossers it on Reuven as the other Jew who's there. Let's say Zvulun is the one who sees the property. So my oser, why does Zvulun osser carrying? He's ossering carrying in the chatzir on Reuven, nivatel. Why can't he be mivatel the rishut? So the fact that he says it is oser, that sounds like he can't be mivatel. That's the way it sounds like. So if he can't be mivatel, because he was a yoresh, he didn't own the property going into Shabbos. So that sounds like a raya against Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman said that a yoresh could be mivatel, and here why can't he be mivatel? The implication is he can't be mivatel. So the Gemara says, "My oser the katani." What does the Brisa mean when he says he's oser? That this person who was moxing the property is oser. Ad shivatel, until he's mevatel. In other words, so it's not a kash against Rav Nachman, means until he's mevatel. When he's mevatel, then he's not oser. Okay, that's the question and the raya. Okay, or that's the first answer. Or should I repeat again, or everybody good? So let me just repeat once.
Repeat
more.
Again, please.
Oh, okay. Let's repeat for last time. Okay, so Rav Nachman held. There was a question in the Gemara whether a yoresh can be mevatel his rishus on Shabbos. That's the first yisod. Can a yoresh be mevatel rishut? Maybe a yoresh, you know, can't be mevatel rishut. Maybe it goes hand in glove with the ability to participate in an Eruv. So the yoresh couldn't participate in Eruv, so he can't, because he didn't own it on Friday before Shabbos, so he can't be mevatel rishus on Shabbos, right? So Rav Nachman says that a yoresh could be mevatel. No, it's not. Doesn't go hand in glove. The yoresh could be mevatel. And then these Talmidim from the base Medrash of Shmuel said, no, he can't be Mevatel. So the Gemara asked a series of questions against Rav Nachman. The one we did today was, we learned to the Brisa. The Brisa says, if a ger dies on Friday, a ger dies on Friday before Shabbos, and then somebody seizes the property on Shabbos. So he, that person, the one who's seizing it, is like the Yoresh. In my case, it was Zvulun. Zvulun seizes the property on Shabbos, and yet the Brisa says that he's oser, he osers Reuven as the other resident of the chatzir from carrying. So why is he oser? The fact that he's oser, it sounds like he can't be mevatel. Otherwise, why can't he mevatel rishut? So that's a kasha against Rav Nachman. So the Gemara says, no, what it means is he's oser until he's mevatel. In other words, right now he sees the property, Reuven can't carry, and then when he's mevatel, he could carry. So that's that piece. Are you good? Everybody good? We see a thumbs up.
And the second case?
All right. One second. You want Fern? Yeah.
Yes. Why is it? I mean, it's a cute little twist that gets you out of the question. But why is it that you can do all these things to change your status on Shabbos? You would think that would go against.
Who's doing what to change whose status? Who are you referring to?
Your Yoresh.
She says Yoresh Beetle. How could you do Beetle on Shabbos?
How could you do Beetle on Shabbos?
We learned there's a machlok between Beit Hillel and Beit Shammai, whether you can do Beetle on Shabbos. Beit Shammai holds you can't do Beetle on Shabbos. Beit Hillel holds you could. So that's
why. Machlok. What's the underpinning?
We're going to see in a few lines. So hold off with that, okay?
Okay.
Now, with Yosef, so the second case in the Brice is not the one we need for our Gemara, but the second case in the Brisa is where the Ger did participate in an Eruv before Shabbos.
And then meaning he rented out.
No, he didn't rent.
He can't do it. He can't do Eruv with the Goy.
No. He's a Ger. He's a Ger. A convert.
Oh, he's a Ger. Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
No Goyim. Mean, he's a Ger. So he engaged in an Eruv with Reuven. And then on Friday night, of Tzlachas, he passed away. And then a Jew seized the property. So the Gemara says, in that case, this Jew who sees the property doesn't aser, because going into Shabbos, you had the Eruv. Then you were okay. All right. Everybody good?
Another issue with changing status, though, is I understand how you can yarshin on Shabbos by operation of law.
Right.
But when you're yarshining from the ger, it's not operation.
Right. Okay. We'll hopefully come to that in a few lines also. Okay. All right. Give me a few minutes. All right. All right, let me go further.
Okay,
what's up? Robert, yeah, you got to unmute yourself. What's up?
I don't get this thing about seizing the property. In other words...
Here's the way it works. In halacha, everybody has a yoresh. Yoresh is your heir. So everybody has an heir. A convert has no heirs. A convert has no family. So when he dies, his property is hefker. Anybody can seize the property.
Yeah, but this is my point. In other words, even if you have no legal right to, in other words, if a homeless person walked into the guy's house after he's dead.
Right, and he sees it. He's got to do a masli kinyan, but he acquires it. He acquires it.
So in other words, he doesn't need like a deed or some legal title.
No. All right.
Just physical possession.
Well, again, he's got to do a masli kinyan. Usually we say nal or gadar or parats. He's got to like fence something around, close off an opening, create an opening. He has to do an action, which is called a kinyan. But then he gets it. Okay, all right. Now I'm going to move on to the Gemara. Now, okay. So we're up to around 20 lines down on Ayin Aleph Amud Aleph. Okay, 71a. Rabbi Yochanan Amar. Now Rabbi Yochanan has a different answer. So we learned in the Brisa that if the ger dies on Friday and a Jew seizes the property on Shabbos, so the Jew, Zvulun, he asks Reuven from carrying. Nobody can carry in that chatzer. So he said it means he asks it until he's mvatel. That was the first answer. The second answer is not saying he asks that. No, he can't be mvatel. He does asker. So what about with Rav Nachman? So Rav Yochanan Amar, now it means, I don't know, they wrote in my art scroll, they wrote Matnitin. Do you have Matnitin here or what on the English side of the art scroll?
Matnita.
Matnita.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yours is corrected? Yeah, I think that's correct. I think it means because it should be the Brisa. So he says, so mine is, I guess, the older version, Matnitin. Matnitin means our Mishnah, Mishnah Tena, but it's not a Mishnah. It's really,
no, this is Brisa.
It's really two Brises. We didn't, the one Brisa we did today, there was one Brisa from yesterday. So Matnita, Mani, who are the Brises like? Beit Shammai. Those Brises that say he asers and he can't be Mvatel Rishud, that's working within the Shita of Beit Shammai. That's a little bit like what you were asking, Fern. He says, "Da Amri ein bitul rishut b'Shabbat." Beit Shammai holds one is not permitted to be mevatel rishut on Shabbat. Ditnan, because we learn in the Mishnah, "Me'ema tai no nim rishut." How long can you be mevatel rishut? Beit Shammai amri mi ba'od yom. You have to be mevatel rishut mi ba'od yom when it's during daylight. This we had on Shabbos, I think. Uvehilo amrim mishatesha. But Hillel says, you can even be vata rishut after nightfall on Shabbos. You can be vata rishut. So this brisa goes according to Beit Shammai. So according to Beit Shammai, nobody can be vata rishut on Shabbos. That's why he asers. But according to Beit Hillel and Achanami, he could be vata rishut. And Rav Nachman was working within the idea of Beit Hillel. So Amar Ula. So Ula says, my tamam de Beit Hillel. What's the reason for Beit Hillel who says that a person could be vata rishut on Shabbos? So he equates it to the idea of klach etzel yafot. Klach etzel yafot is, let's say I designate an agent to take truma for me, but I don't tell him which quality of crops to take. So, and he takes from very nice crops. And so when I come home, I see he took all these beautiful crops. I say, you know what? Klach etzel yafot. You could have even done even the better crops. So I, by implication, I'm like, signing off on his actions. Endorsing what he did. I'm endorsing what he did. So he says, so klach etzel yafot. So here, when the person, according to Hillel, Beis Hillel, when he says like he's mevatel rishus on Shabbos, means, if he remembered, he would have been mevatel rishus before Shabbos. So like he's doing now, it's a gilui das. In other words, when he says klach etzel yafot, I would have been happy if he went even for the better ones. So that's a gilui das. He's revealing what his feelings were. We didn't know it at the time he was doing, but now he's revealing what his feelings were. So according to Beit Hillel, when a person's vata rishus on Shabbos means I would have been vata rishus even before Shabbos because that's what I wanted. I just didn't remember. So that's the way Beit Hillel says. 1 minute. So Amar Abaye. So Abaye says, but what about when a goy dies on Shabbos? Now, we said the Brisa working, the idea is talking about within Beit Shammai, but if a goy dies on Shabbos, so klach etzel yafot, I was the owner before, and I'm the owner now, and now I'm about to reshut, so I'm revealing what my das was going into Shabbos. But if it's a goy who owns the property, and now the person wants to be vata rishus on Shabbos, what's far does that make? In other words, again, Beit Hillel holds the person can be vata rishus on Shabbos, But that's if the svar is klachetz liyafot, it doesn't seem to have any implication or any application, I should say, when you have you're dealing with a goy who dies on Shabbos. So elo hacha b'hakim iflagi. So the Gemara says no. What the machlok between Beit Hillel and Beit Shammai is as follows: to Beit Shammai savri bitul reshut miknam reshutahu umiknam reshutu b'shabbat asur. Beit Shammai holds bitul reshut is transferring the reshut from one ownership to another. So that you're not allowed to do on Shabbos. That's like mekach u'mimkar. I'm not allowed to do that. Uvid Hillel savri istaluki reshuta ba'almahu istaluki reshuta b'shabbat shapi dami. It holds you're not transferring. You're just misalik your ownership, and there's a difference between siluk of your bialus or transferring it. That's the nekuda de machloket. Okay, well let's just summarize, and then we'll do some more on this. Okay, it is a little bit complicated, but all right. So again. So we're going back. So again, Rav Nachman says that a Yoresh can be Mevatel Rishut. And we had a question from the Braisa. It sounded like the person who seizes property of the Ger couldn't be Mevatel Rishut. So the first answer was he could be Mevatel Rishut. The second answer is no. The Braisa is going like Beit Shammai. Beit Shammai says nobody can be Mevatel Rishut on Shabbos. Nobody. But Beit Hillel will hold that you could be Mevatel Rishut. So that's why that Braisa hold, or the two last Braises hold that way. So the Gemara says, well, what's the reason for Beit Hillel, Beit Shammai? Why does Beit Hillel hold you could be Mevatel Rishut? And Beit Shammai says not. So Beit Shammai holds it's like transferring ownership. So transferring ownership is, you know, making a kinyan. It's like transferring rights on Shabbos. It's like, you know, making a kinyan on Shabbos. So I can't do that. And Beit Hillel holds, no, it's just siluk of bailus. In other words, if I'm a Mevatel Rishut, I'm not transferring. I'm just withdrawing my bailus on it. Okay, so with that we answered the questions against Rav Nachman. All right, now let me just talk for a minute. All right, everybody okay with what we did so far? Everybody good? Okay. All right. Now.
No, but the whole concept of Eruv is that it has to be prepared mibaod yom. I mean,
right.
It's really like the Beit Shammai opinion. And this default just doesn't feel right.
Well, even
that I would have, coulda, shoulda, you know.
All right, that's the Hava Mina. The Gemara rejected that, the coulda, would have. The Gemara said that it's working with the idea, bitul reshut. Is it just siluk bailus or is it an act of kinyan? Okay, that's the way we're working with this. Okay, all right. Now, this is a piece from the Daf Yomi Digest. So we did this whole thing here. Okay, now the Rashash proves from this that it's permitted for one to make something ownerless on Shabbos. So in other words, Rashash wants to extrapolate from our Gemara a larger principle. If I say a person, according to Beis Hillel, leave the slide Beit Shammai, just working within Beis Hillel. If a person could be mevatel his rishus on Shabbos, so a person could make something ownerless, hefker on Shabbos, he says, since relinquishing one's share of a chatzir is essentially making it ownerless, is permitted on Shabbos. That's the Rosh Hashanah's Raya. So Ramban prohibits declaring items ownerless on Shabbos, since declaring something ownerless transfers that item from one's possession into the possession of hefker. And thus similar to standard business transactions. So let's go slowly with this. The Ramban says, am I allowed to declare something hefker on Shabbos? Can I declare something I own to be hefker? Hefker means ownerless on Shabbos. So the Rosh Hashanah wants to say, from our Gemara, it sounds like you could do that. That's what the Rosh Hashanah wants to say. And the Ramban says, no, you're not allowed to do that. Because when I declare something hefker, I'm in essence transferring it to the Rishus of hefker. In other words, there's a domain of Hefker. That's what I'm transferring to Hefker. So the Megillah Sefer explains that according to the Ramban, nullifying one's share of the Chatzer is not comparable to declaring one's possessions ownerless. So the two are not the same. When I'm a Vatel Rishut, that's not the same as declaring something Hefker. The reason that is that a declaration of Hefker involves the owner relinquishing all of his rights and privileges of ownership. When I declare something Hefker, means I have no connection with this whatsoever. It's like, he says, when one nullifies his share in the chatzir, all he does is relinquish his share that prevented the other residents of the chatzir from carrying in the chatzir. In other words, he gives rights of passage to the other residents to enter his house, but he does not relinquish his ownership of his house or property altogether. In other words, I'm giving like a limited relinquishment. Beitul is not Beitel is not hefker. Hefker means I have no ownership rights whatsoever in this chatzer. That's not what I'm doing.
Is it like an easement?
Okay, just 1 minute and I'll come to you. Okay, just give me 1 second, okay? So it means he says, I'm not relinquishing all of my rights. I'm just giving you a right, like to you know, you have my rights, privileges in there. In other words, he gives rights of passage to the other residents to enter his house, but he does not relinquish his ownership of his house or property altogether. Relinquishing only some of one's control is not comparable to a declaration of hefker, and thus is permitted. Okay, that's where he's headed now. Now, Orachos Shabbos writes that even those authorities who permit making items odorless on Shabbos permit one to throw something into the garbage. So now, the question is like this. Let's say, assuming I hold the tzad, I'm not allowed to clear something hefker on Shabbos. How can I throw anything in the garbage on Shabbos? Like I heard Rabbi Leibowitz today say, like, let's say you have like a can, I throw it in the garbage. Isn't that in essence a declaration of hefker? How do I throw anything in the garbage on Shabbos? So he says, the reason is that a person is not making a declaration that the item is ownerless. The items become ownerless by virtue of the fact that they are no longer usable, and thus it is not have the characteristics that normally resemble a business transaction. All right, let's go slowly with this. So then I'll come to your point for a friend. So, all right, let's just go again slowly. So, all right, so we see that a person, according to Beis Hillel, one is allowed to be mevatel his rishus on Shabbos, right? A person can be mevatel his rishus on Shabbos. So the Rashash wants to extrapolate from here that one could declare items hefker on Shabbos. Since I see the Gemara says mefuris, so I can be mevatel my rishus on Shabbos, so I can declare things hefker on Shabbos. And then we said the Ramban says you're not allowed to declare something hefker on Shabbos. Declaring something hefker is a total abrogation of all of my ownership rights in the item, and I'm transferring it to the rishus of hefker. Here, and then being mitzarif this with what he quoted from, I think from the the Megillah Sefer? So, right. So he says the Megillah Sefer, according to Ramban, the two are very different. When I'm a Batel Rishut, I'm just giving up certain rights. I'm not saying I'm not the owner of the house anymore. I'm not saying I don't have titled ownership in the Chatzer anymore, but I'm a Batel those rights. I'm giving you those rights on Shabbos. I'm a Batel my rights on Shabbos. That's all I'm doing. So it's not the same as Hefker, not the same as Hefker. And then he got into an issue with how do you throw things in the garbage? So throwing things in the garbage means I don't need it. And then Mamela, something may happen to it, but I don't need it. Okay, what do you want to say, Fern? Let me hear.
First of all, when you said before that you're not abrogating all your rights, it's like you are. It sounds like you're retaining an easement.
Who's got the
easement? You're giving an easement.
Granting an easement to the other people.
Right.
You know, the only thing is that with an easement, all right, might be comparable. It might be comparable. Okay.
And the other thing is, if you throw something out because it's no longer usable, what if you throw something out that is still usable?
Yeah, but
in other words, we learned that if you change it, it's no longer a kli and all that. But it's just not usable. I'm tired of it. I don't want it anymore.
Like I have my
is that like, the kind of thing like, throw like, out
like,
on
like my mink coat.
Based on what you said.
Like I don't want my mink coat anymore. I throw it in the garbage like that. So he said here, no longer usable, does not have the character.
Not the best example, but I'll go along with it.
Yeah, so I don't, let me hold off with that. Okay, now, let me just do one more piece on this and then we'll move on. Now, this is from the Al Hadaf, also on this idea about Beitel. Now, he connects this to the Gemara Pesachim and Dav Zion. Our next Masechta is Pesachim, and it's just a month away. Just a month away. That's it. We're today is Ayin Aleph. There's only a little bit more than 30 days left with Erevin. So the Gemara Pesachim Dav Zion says the act of Beitel Chametz is performed even when Erev Pesach falls on Shabbos. Let's say Erev Pesach's on Shabbos. Okay. So I'm a Vatel my Chametz on Shabbos. So the Pre-Chadash remarks that apparently the act of Beitel Chametz is not an act of Hefker, because he says disowning one's possessions on Shabbos is prohibited. In other words, going with the Tzad that I can't declare my property hefker. See, hefker is, this is the way Rav Konigsberg once explained it. Like, in other words, I'm transferring it to the reshus of hefker. I'm transferring it to a certain status. Beetle is like, I'm misalik my ownership of it. So he says like this. Rather, he says, Beetle Chamis is an act of nullification, whereby one declares that Chamis has no significance, is considered like dust of the earth. An act of nullification being performed on Shabbos. It's similar to what we had over here, or like histalkut, a misalik my rishus for it. The Rashash setting, we did the Rashash already. Then the Ritva comments, perhaps is only permitted to disown one's possessions on Shabbos for the sake of a mitzvah. If one forgot to join an Eruv, it was a mitzvah to perform a betel and remove him from the chatzah to validate the Eruv's neighbors. Okay, that's all I have on this. Okay, any more questions, comments, or thoughts? Everybody good? All right.
Yes.
All right, what's up?
When you're misalik, you're...
Bilus.
Bilus.
Yeah, Mauritius, yeah.
How do you get it back?
Yeah, so this is within Beis Hillel. In other words, we said already that he's not giving up all of his rights in the item, but he's misalik his bilus, you know, for that, I guess, for Shabbos. I don't know. Then that's
for this Shabbos, but yeah. Next Shabbos I want to be part of the Eruv
or whatever.
How do you reverse it?
In other words, it's like I'm misalik my bilus, I think, for this Shabbos, and then afterwards it just automatically goes back.
No, it's just a condition.
In other words, it's like I didn't give up my ownership of it or anything like that, and so then everything, you know, snaps back. That's the way I think. Okay, let's see back for the next mission. Everybody with me? All right, Manita.
Yeah, I asked that question on Sunday, and Barak said that it's week to week. In other words, what goes on one Shabbos doesn't necessarily have to go on
the
next.
So it's a condition that it's just for the week.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, somebody may not even physically be in their residence.
Yeah. Although, like somebody had asked me earlier, like what, you know, I don't think anything prevents somebody from being mevatel reshut for many Shabbos. In other words, like what if at the beginning of the month I say I'm mevatel my reshut every Shabbos the next four Shabbos? So I think he could do that as well. All right, let's take a look. Now, Manitin, Balabayit Sheshutaf L'Shechenav. Now, again, we had a Ruvei Chatzerot and Shitufei Mevo'ot. A Ruvei Chatzerot means all the people, we share a Chatzer together, and then we all join together in an Eruv. And then Shitufei Mevo'ot, you have a number of Chatzerot, they all join together to permit carrying in the Mavui, in the alleyway. All right, that's the two. So the Gemara says, Manitin, Balabayit Sheshutaf L'Shechenav. If a person was a partner with his neighbors, Lezebiyayin, Lezebiyayin. Now here, he doesn't mean a partner for Shitufa Mavot. It means it happens, I got together with you and we purchased wine together. He says, so I'm in Chatzer Aleph and I joined with people in Chatzer Beis and we bought wine together. And then I joined with people in Chatzer Gimel and we bought wine together. He says, Einan Srichim La Rev. We don't need to make, now La Rev here means to make a Shitufei Mevo'ot. Like he's using the terms differently than we normally use it. So I don't need to make a Shitufei Mevo'ot. In other words, since we already share wine together, so then we're good. I don't need another Shitufei Mevo'ot. Lezeb Yayin, Lezeb Shemen, if I have, you know, I own wine in common with, you know, if I'm in Chatzer Beis, I own wine in common with Chatzer Aleph, and I own oil in common with Chatzer Gimel, he says, Shrichin La'arev. Then we need a Shitufei Mevo'ot. Shitufei Mevo'ot means we're all going to join together, but we'll see in a minute the same thing. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Echadze v'Echadze Einan Shrichin La'arev. Rabbi Shimon says, no, they're both good. They're both good. Okay? So again, in the Mishnah, we're learning, again, normally, just the simple way is normally for a Ruvei Chatzerot, you have bread, something like matzah is a Ruvei Chatzerot. And Shitufa Mevo'ot, normally we'll see this the Machloket, but we say even wine suffices for Shitufa Mevo'ot. It means like we're all joining together. we pool our items together, and we put it in one place, and then we can carry. So the Mishnah says that if I already have a partnership with people in Chatzer Aleph and a partnership with people in Chatzer Gimel, with wine, I don't need to do Shitufei Mevo'ot because I already share ownership of wine. But if I have wine in common with Katzer Aleph and oil in common with Katzer Gimel that I do need to make a shetuvah mevo'od. And Rav Shimon says, even in that case, I'm good. That's what we learned. All right. Any questions on the Mishnah? All right, let's go on. Now, the Gemara says, we're 10 lines from the bottom on the Ayin Aleph Amud Aleph. So Amarav, Rabbah says, Uvikli Echad. Rabbah says, when the Mishnah says in the Tanakama, that, or either one, that it's good, it means it's all in one keli. In other words, the wine is all in one keli. So he says, Amarava, Dekanami, Dekatani, the Zeb Yain, and the Zeb Shemen, Srikhal Ari. Rabbah says, we can deduce this from a careful reading of our Mishnah. The Mishnah says, if I have wine with one and oil with the other, we have to make an Eir, meaning Shetufim Mevo'ot. Yavr Shleim Reisha B'Kli Echad, B'Seif B'Shnei Kelim Shapir. So the simplest way to understand the Mishnah would be, the Reisha case where it's good, it's all in one keli. Oil and wine, I'm not going to keep in one kelim. I'm going to keep in two different kelim. So Mela, that would undercut the Shetuf. So Shetufim Mevo'ot, I have to have everything in one keli. Wine and wine, I'll put in one keli. I have a good shetufim mevo'od. But the wine and the oil is not going to be in one keli. It's going to be in two kelim. So it's not a good shetufim mevo'od, according to the Tanakhama. Eliyamid reisha b'shnei kelim is safe b'shnei kelim. But if I assume it's two kelim even with the wine and wine, two kelim with the wine and the oil, mali yayin b'yayin, mali yayin b'shem. What's the difference? It's a zel b'zach. In other words, if I have things in common with aleph, I have things in common with gimel. So what difference does it make? One wine and one oil. So he wants to bring that this raya that the Reish is talking about wine and wine. It means it's one keli. The wine and oil is two different kelim. So Amalei Abaye deflects the proof. It could be, and according to the number he's shown him, that indeed Abaye subscribes to the idea that Rav had said, but he deflects the proof. He says, Yayin v'yayin ra'ui la'arev. In other words, wine and wine I could mix, even if I didn't mix it, but I could mix it. He says, Yayin v'shemen ain ra'ui la'arev. But wine and oil, that's not fit to be combined. In other words, that doesn't mix together. So that might be the reason why it doesn't work. So it's not necessarily a proof about the two kalim, but it could be that we do hold this idea. All right. So again, so the idea is that Rav says that when we talk about the wine and the wine, it's in one keli, and the wine and oil, the liqueur is with two different kalim. All right. But it's not mukhrach. All right.
So according to Abaye, if you do put the oil and wine in one keli, it will be good.
Yeah, the wine and oil, I don't think, even if it's in one keli, it's not fit to be combined. In other words, the food together represents that we're coming together. We share everything together. So wine and oil, like it's like wine and water. It's like, you know, oil and water. It doesn't mix. So it doesn't represent the idea of shetufim mevo'ot coming together, even if it's in one keli.
So the wine and wine don't have to be in one keli either.
So the
according to Abaye,
again, Abaye may subscribe to this idea, but Abaye says not muchrach. So according to Abaye, right, it could be in two kalim, right? So it could have wine.
As long as fit to be in one kalim,
right,
is good
right,
enough.
Right, right. That could be the theory in the Mishnah. All right. Everybody good? All right. Let's go on. All right. We're 10 lines to the bottom. Reb Shimon Omer Achadze Bechadze Ein Srichon La'arev. Reb Shimon says that. Even if I have wine and oil, I'm good. That's it. I'm finished. I don't need shetufim mevo'ot. But fidlu zebi yayin lezebi shemen, even one is wine, one oil, it works. So Amarabba, hachamay askinan. So Rabba is going to qualify the case in the Mishnah. In other words, in the Mishnah, Reb Shimon says, even if you have wine in partnership with Chatzer, we thought with Chatzer Aleph, and oil in common with Chatzer Gimel, you're good to go. You're good to go carrying the mabui. So the Gemara says, "Am Rabba Hachamay Askin B'Chatzer Shemein Shnei Mevo'ot." So Rabba says the case that Reb Shimon is referring to is not where you have several chatzerot sharing one mavui, but the case is one chatzer that's between two mevo'ot. And I think I have a picture. Let me see. Wait until it closes. One second. Go. All right, everybody see the picture? So here we have one chatzir. Here we have a mavui. This is like one group here. Here you have a mavui, one chatzir. So this mavui is with these two chatzirot. This mavui is these two chatzirot. And in the middle you have this chatzir, which sort of has like an entry to both mavuis. So the Gemara says, Rabbah says, that the case that Reb Shimon is referring to in the Mishnah is where you have a chatzer between two mavuis. He says, "Hach b'chatzer shmei shtei mavuot." Reb Shimon Tame ditnan, and Reb Shimon is following his shita. So the way that we want to say is that if the person in the chatzer or the people in the chatzer, they share oil with these people here, and they share a wine with these people here, so that will permit, we'll see in a minute, that will permit the people in the chatzer to carry to the mavui, and people in the chatzer to carry to this mavui, but not permit the people in this mavui to carry to that mavui. We'll see in a minute. He says, "Ditnan." We learn in the Mishnah. Remember, this is going back in our Masechta. Remember when we spoke about when people have a different Tchum Shabbos. Remember, three people, and each person, maybe they had Dalet Amot. Remember, they were limited to Dalet Amot, but each one had a different Dalet Amot. So, "Ditnan." Am Reb Shimon Lamad Dabar Domeh. Reb Shimon said, "What is this similar to?" Like three chatzerot that adjoin one another and open up to the Rishon HaRabim. In other words, I have chatzer Aleph, chatzer Beis, chatzer Gimel. So he says, if Aleph and Gimel, which are the outer chatzerot, if they make an Eruv with the middle one, himu teradahem behemu teradima. So he can carry to the outer ones can carry to the middle chatzer. But the two outer ones are prohibited carrying one to another. So when Reb Shimon says that one is with oil and one is with wine, he means the middle chatzer has, you know, in common with the people in this mavui, he's got wine in common. And with this mavui, he's got oil in common. And so the people in this chatzer can carry the mavui and carry this mavui. The people over here can carry into the chatzer. The people here can carry the chatzer, but the people from this chatzer and mabui can't carry to the other chatzer. So he says here, so Amar Le Abaye, so that's what we think the case in the Mishnah is with Reb Shimon, with the oil and the wine. So Amar Le Abaye, so who's the one who gave this pshat? This was Rabba. So Amar Le Abaye, Abaye says to Rabba, "Mi dami, how can you compare the two cases? Hatam Katani Shtai Machitzonot Asurot." Over there, the Mishnah learns Mefurash that the two outer ones are prohibited from carrying one to the other one. Hacha Katani Ein Strichen La'arev Klal. Here, the language in the Mishnah is Ein An Strichen La'arev, but it's open, Klal. It sounds like you don't have to make, there's nothing more to do. It was over in the Mishnah where he had three Chatzerot and one chatzer had an eruv with one, and one chatzer had an eruv with another, but you know, he had A, B, and C. So B had an eruv in common with C, and B had an eruv in common with A. So B could carry to C, and B could carry to A, but A can't carry to C. But there, he says, "Shtai mechitzon on a suud zom zo." Here he just says, "Ein strik la'arev," sounds like it all. So the Gemara says, no, "My ein strik la'arev, shchenim b'hari balabayit." It means that the shchenim means the people in this over here with this mob, we don't have to do anything with him. He says, the people on the ends, they do have to do it. So that's the way he's going to explain. All right. Who's got questions, comments, thoughts, anything we did so far?
Meaning the two end ones have to join in an arrow with each other.
Yeah, right. And the right. So he's really saying that that Reb Shimon's case is just limited to this case with the chatzer and the two mavuis. Yeah. All right, that's the way. Now, the top line on Ayin Aleph Amud Beis. Everybody with me? Okay. So, Reb Yosef Amar, Reb Shimon Rabbanan Beplukta, Reb Yochanan Benuri Rabbanan Kemiflagi. Reb Yosef says, no. Reb Shimon is talking about, a chatzer with other chatzer with one mavui, like a typical case. It's talking about a shituvim mavuot. But his machloka with the chachamim turns on a machloka between Beplukta, Rabbi Yochanan Nuri, Rabbanan Kemiflagi, the same machloka, Rabbi Yochanan Nuri, and Chachamim, which we had before in Daf Yomi. As you go through the Shas, you have more and more that you had already. So it's more and more repetition as you go through. And if you've been through one machsor, then it's even more repetition. So eventually everything gets repeated. So he says, "Ditnan, we learn in the Mishnah, Shemesh Tzaf al Gabi Yayin." Let's say I have oil that's floating on wine. Now the oil is Truma, and the wine is truma. The oil is floating on top of the wine. Benagat tvul yom b'shemen. A tvul yom has a residual amount of tuma, but he's only going to make a shlishi. So truma can be makabel shlishi. So if I say the oil and the wine is one solution, so then it becomes tame. But if they're two separate solutions, then only one becomes tamei, not the other one, or pasul, I should say. Didan shemen shesafal gabe yayim and the gatzul yom shemen lo pasal shemen bavad. So the only thing he pasled was the shemen, not the wine. Rabbi Yochman Nuri Omer shneim chiburin zelazeh, and Rabbi Yochman says no, we view it as one big solution. So he says rabbanon ki rabbanon. So the chachamim, the chachamim here who hold that the oil and the wine doesn't mix, so to speak, in our Mishnah. I mean, the oil and the wine, we can't make a shituvim vote with oil and wine. They hold, like the chachamim here in the Mishnah, that oil and wine we view as two different mashkim. He says, Rabbi Yochanan Manuri. And Rabbi Shimon holds like Rabbi Yochanan Manuri. Rabbi Yochanan says, no, we view it as one big solution. So if you use one big solution, so then I can make a shitupim avot with shemen and yayin. That's what we think. What's up for
it? But isn't it in our case in two different kalim, and the other it's in one kli?
Yeah. So we
shemen and the yayin.
Yeah. So this was first we had two lashonos about whether it's in two kalim or not. We assumed it was two separate kalim, but one minute.
I don't think we ever changed that, did we?
According to Abaye, it could be in the same keli, as long as it's fit to be in the same keli.
Yeah, so he says here in footnote 6, Rav Yosef agrees with Abaye's understanding of the Mishnah. According to Rav and Rabba, the rabbis also hold that if the wine and oil were in the same container, the shituf would be valid. So either it's in the same keli, and then it's good, or I don't need it to be in the same keli. The way Abaye was saying, doesn't need to be in the same keli. That was the way we were saying with Abaye. So it may not be in the same keli. It's good, according to the way Abaye. So Rabbi Yosef understands the way Abaye, but it has to be susceptible that it could be like mixed or it could be viewed as one. That's the way to say it. And so either it's in the same keli, do we view it like as enough, or even if it's in separate kalim, but do I view it as something that's susceptible to being mixed together or being viewed as one? So that's the way that we'll do it.
Would Rav Shimon agree that if we were not dealing with oil but just wine, that everyone would be able to carry everywhere?
What do you mean? What is he? He's got two. Eruvim that he's involved with. So they're both wine, you mean, or what? If they're both wine,
then
for sure you hold. Definitely, then for sure
so
you would hold.
So if A mixes with B and then B mixes with C, it's like transitive A to C, like in
you're saying a lot of different things together here, Fern. Again, could be. You're from Mishing. All right. So again, the person we're talking about, the people own oil and wine together. They own it. You have nothing to do with shitufim avot. They own it together. But now do they require shitufim avot? So we said, let's say a person in Chatzar Aleph, he owns wine in common with people in Chatzar Beis. He owns oil in common with people in Chatzar Gimel. So now do they need to make a shitufim avot? So Reb Shimon says, no, they don't need to do it because they already got it. It's accomplished already with the partnership agreements. So it might be that it's in one keli, it might be it's in two kelim, depending on how we learn the sugya. But if it's wine and wine, certainly you would hold it's good.
Rav Shimon. Okay.
Okay. All right. Now let's see further in the Gemara. Okay, so we're on line 5. On Ayin Aleph Amud Beis. All right. Let me get rid of this. All right. Now Tanya. Now we're learning. Now this is a different opinion. Now we're learning a new opinion. Tanya. Reb Lezer ben Tadai Omer, Echadzeh veEchadzeh Strichin LaArev, VaAfilu LeZebiyayin LeZebiyayin. So Reb Lezer ben Tadai is the most stringent opinion. When he says LaArev, meaning you have to make a Shitufei Mevoot. So even if we own wine together or we own wine and oil together, I need to make a new shitufei mevoot. That's according to Reb Lezer ben Tadai. Okay, so Amar Rabba, Zeba Balagino Shafach, Zeba Balagino Shafach, if one person came with his wine and pours it into a keli, and another person comes with his wine and pours it into a keli, Kuliyama Bulhigi Dahabi Arab, everybody agrees that 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 would be a good Erev. One second. Yeah, that would be a valid Erev.
What was the intention when they did this?
Yeah. He says the original intention was not to join an Erev or Shituf, but they each have wine in the same container. So, but that works. So Erev can either be an Erev b'chatzer or Shituf b'mevavot, but we pour our wine in one keli. Ki pligi kon shalachu chavit shel yain b'shutvot. The point of dispute in this brisa is we purchased wine in a shutfus. In other words, when everybody has his own chelek and puts it together, whether it was part of the partnership or certainly if it's for the Erev or the Shutuf Mevavot, it works. But the machloket is where we own things from the get-go in a partnership. He says, Reb Lezer Tadai Savar, Ein Breira, Rabbanan Savar Yesh Breira. Meaning in this brisa we learn that if we own, in other words, the point of dispute, the way that this is Rav Yosef, right? Who's saying this? This is Rav Yosef? Whose Hesber is this? Rabba. Yeah. So the way Rabba's explaining it is that the point of dispute is when we own things in partnership, but we own it in partnership from the get-go, so it was never individually mine, never individually yours, then according to Reb Lezer ben Tadai, that cannot be the basis of Shituf Mevavot. Shituf Mevavot, or Erubi Chatzerot, means I have my piece, you have your piece, we put it together, and now we're joined. But if from the get-go we were in a partnership and it never was individualized between us, it can't be the basis for an Erubi Chatzerot or Shituf Mevavot. That's the way he wants to say it. Now, when over he says Ein Breira and Rasi Yesh Breira, so the way Rabbi Lieber was saying, he was saying Breira here is different than the way it normally is. Normally, Breira is later on when you divvy it up, now it becomes clear retroactively that was your portion. But here he was saying, it may be that I think that they're never going to divide it up. But Breira here means differently. It just means like I can't distinguish your portion. I can't distinguish my portion. Okay, that's one way to understand it. All right, now, Rav Yosef Amar, Reb Lezer ben Tadai v'Rabbanan besomchin al shituf b'makom erev kemiflegi. So Rav Yosef says no. The brisa, the point is to in the brisa between Reb Lezer Tadai, again in the brisa, Reb Lezer ben Tadai says echad zev echad zev tzrichim la'arev. So the first way was where it was just owned jointly all along. So now I needed a different erev or shituf b'mevavot. That was the first way we learned. The second way we're learning is that they have machloket, whether I somchen al shituf. In other words, if I have shituf mevavot, do I need an eruv chatzerot in addition to that or not? So he says, the mar savar ein somchen. That mar savar ein somchen is Reb Lezer ben Tadai holds that notwithstanding the fact that I have an eruv chatzerot in place or shituf mevavot in place, I still need to have an eruv chatzerot. He says, Umar Savar Somchin. And the other opinion holds, no. So when it means that, in other words, in all of these cases, this is the way we're learning now, that in all these cases, even when I have a kosher shituf mevavot, I still need to have an eruv chatzerot. So it's a different topic. In other words, he says, shine. So you have a shituf mevavot, but you still need a eruv chatzerot. And the Chamim hold that no, you could ride the bootstraps of the Shituf Mevavot and you don't need the Eruv Chatzerot. Everybody got that so far? Yosef, you good? Thumbs up or thumbs down?
Chachamim hold either way would work, meaning if you made a Shituf Mevavot, it would be Chatzerot and Chatzerot would be good for Shituf Mevavot.
We're going to see that soon. Yeah, we're going to see that soon. All right? We'll see. All right? All right, let's take a look. Okay, so now we're 10 lines from the bottom. I'm Rabbi Yosef Mina Aminala. So Rabbi Yosef says, how do I know what I'm saying is correct? That the point of the dispute between Lezer Tanzai and the Chachamim is whether if I have a Shituf Mevavot, do I even need a Eruv Chatzerot? The Amar Rabbi Yudam Rav, Halachik Rameir. Rav says, Halach Havaz Rameir. We're going to see Rameir in shortly. Rameir holds that even if I have an Eruv Chatzerot or a Shituf Mevavot, I still need a Eruv Chatzerot. Rameir holds that. He says, Va'amar Rab Bruna, Amar Rab Halachik Reb Lezer Ben Tadai, and Rab also says Halachapals Reb Lezer Ben Tadai. So my tama lamishum dechataimu. Is it not that they're both saying the same thing? That's why Rav said the halacha follows Reb Meir and the halacha follows Reb Lezer ben Hadai. They both say if you have a shetufei mevo'ot, you still need an erubei chatzerot. So Amar le Abaye. So Abaye said to Rav Yosef, the ichad taima tarti hilchat alamli. If they're both saying the same thing, why did he have to say it twice that the halacha follows Reb Meir and the halacha follows Reb Lezer ben Hadai? Why do you have to say both? So the Gemara says, he says that he was teaching me that I don't follow one Tana with two stringency by Erevin. So the two stringencies are like this. Remeir holds that I need bread for the Shitufei Mevo'ot and bread for Eruvei Chatzerot. And the Chachamim hold, for Shitufei Mevo'ot I could even use wine, but I do need bread for the Eruvei Chatzerot. And then the third opinion holds, I can even use wine for Shitu Mevo'ot and wine for the Eruvei Chatzerot. So we don't hold like two chumras of one person in Erevin. Two stringent. In Erevin, we're more lenient, right? So Remeir holds both chumras. So he didn't want to say, like, I pass like Remeir because that would be two chumras. So he says, the halacha follows Reb Meir, and he says the halacha also follows Reb Lezer ben Tadai. So Reb Lezer ben Tadai, So Reb Lezer ben Tadai is a shituf of wine. You can't use shituf of wine. And once he establishes I can't do shituf of vote with wine, then he can see like Reb Meir that even a shituf of bread may not, that even a sheet of bread. In other words, I can't use sheet of wine by itself. In other words, sheet of wine by itself won't carry along the chatzerot. And then he follows Reb Meir that even a sheet of bread won't carry along the chatzerot by itself. That's what he's saying. This is good. No.
He lost you, Rabbi.
All right. Let's go again. So we said that there's a machloket. If I have shituf mevo'ot, do I need a rubei chatzerot or not? So Reb Lezer ben Tadai holds that if I have shituf mevo'ot, I still need a rubei chatzerot. And Remeir also holds if I have shituf mevo'ot, I still need a rubei chatzerot. All right, so far so good. All right, so the Gemara says, so if they're both saying the same thing, why does he have to say the halacha follows Reb Meir and the halacha follows Reb Lezer ben Tadai? So the Gemara says, because Reb Meir, really, in his shita, he's got two stringencies in his shita. Well, stringency one is that he holds that you need bread for, in other words, he holds you need bread for the shitu mevo'ot and you need bread for the Eruvei Chatzerot. And then there's another opinion that holds that I could even use wine for shituf mevo'ot and bread for the Eruvei Chatzerot. And the third opinion holds, I could use wine for both of them. So he's saying that if he would just say like Reb Meir, that then he'd be having two stringencies in one Tana. And we don't follow two stringencies in one Tana. So he says, I hold like Reb Lezer ben Tadai. So therefore, you know, I hold that, let's say wine doesn't work by the Eruvei Chatzerot. I need bread. And then I hold like Reb Meir that I need bread for the Shituvei Mevo'ot. Like that. Okay. All right. Let's take further in the Gemara. Okay. Now, so my Reb Meir, my Rabbanan, what's the opinion of Reb Meir and the Chachamim that you would refer to? So Datani, we learn the Braisa, Arvin b'chatzerot b'pat. Bryce says, this is going to be Reb Meir, that for the chatzerot, I need to use bread. And if they want to use wine, they cannot use wine for Eruvei chatzerot. Mishtafin b'mavui b'yayin. He says, this opinion says, if they want to do shitu mevo'ot with wine, they could. If they want to use bread, they could. He says, ma'arvin b'chatzerot u'mishtafin b'mavui. And then we do both. Remeir holds, I need to do both so the children don't forget that there is such a thing as a Eruvei Chatzerot. But Chachamim Omrim, O Ma'arvin, O Mishtatfin. you either do Erev or you do Shituf Mavod. So the first Yisod is, we have to clarify what the Machloket is, but the Ikar is, Remeir says, I can't just have Shituf Mavod, I have to have a Ruvei Chatzerot. So Pligi Bar Rav Nechumi V'Rabba, Charamar, Bepatikuli Amalo Pligi, Debechad Asagi. One opinion, this first version holds that by bread, they both agree that you only need to do one. Ki Pligi B'Yayin. Only Machloket is with wine. In other words, if I do Shituf Mavod with wine, then the Chachamim hold that it could serve for the Chatzerot, and Remeir holds it can't serve if I do it with wine. But the other version is v'chadamar beyond the kuliyama lo pligi to be an entirety. With wine, everybody holds I need two. One for the Ruvei Chatzerot, one for Shituf Mavod. Ki pligi bepat. The Machloket is only by bread. So according to the second version, the Chachamim hold by a bread, I only need the Shituf Mavod. And Remeir holds even with bread, I need two separate. I need Shituf Mavod and the Ruvei Chatzerot. Okay, Meifei, on this we ask a shayla from the following brisa. But Chachamim Omrim, Oma Arvin, Oma Shtatvin. The Chachamim say, and this is from the brisa we just did, that Oma Arvin, Oma Shtatvin. I do either Erev or Shituf Mavod. My love, Oma Arvin, Bechatzir Bepat. Is he not saying that either do Eruv Bechatzir with the pot, Oma Shtatvin Bemav Uvimayin, or I can do Shituf Mavod Biyayin. Now the one second. So this contradicts what we said. We said on the top line, "B'chadamar b'yayin dekuliyam alo pligi debayin and tarti." We said according to the second opinion, wine everybody agrees we need two things. Eruvei chatzer v'shtuv v'mavod, and here it's saying, O mishtatfin b'mav u'biyayin, you do either or. So Amrav Gidol Amarav, Haki Kamar, Oma Arvin b'chatzir b'pat, umutarn kan b'kan. It means like this, either make the Eruv of the chatzir with bread and good both places, O mishtatfin b'mav u'biyayin, umutarn kan b'kan, or you do the shifu mavoa with bread and mutar there and there. All right, anyway, Naniach, either way, Amrav Yudah Marav, Halachik Remeir. The Halach follows Remeir. Now, there's two versions of Remeir. It's not clear which version he's saying the Halach is like. Rav Huna Amar, Minak Remeir. Remeir, the second opinion says the Minak is like Remeir. So if the Halach is like Remeir, it means that we would darshan Barabim that way. If the Minak is like Remeir, I'd probably rule that way. Rav Yochanan Amar, Nagua Amk Remeir, which means if somebody would come to ask me, so I could rule that way. If I rule that way, they wouldn't criticize me. All right, that's the best I have with this. Anybody ever there?
It got very complicated.
Yeah, but it did get complicated.
What's the Chachamim's logic that you could use one for the other one? Why would you be able to do that?
Why would you be able to double over, or why not be able to double over? Why you should, that's more logical, because it's joining everything together. So once I'm joining everything together, it's like, you know, it's like the union involves everything. So that's the easier way. Why do you need two, I think, is the bigger question. But so we gave one reason why we need two, according to Remeir. Remeir said that you really don't need two, but you need two because we're afraid that the kids will forget that you need a Ruvei Chatzerot.
Why would wine be considered inferior to bread for an Eruv?
Wine, well, the bread is obviously more home. Bread is like the staff of life. So like Rabbi Leibowitz was saying that like bread is like much more your dira. If I have bread, that's my where I live is where my bread is. Wine is like less permanent, you know. So that's why wine is less, you know, chamor than bread. You know,
Nazir can eat bread.
Well, that I don't know is machria one way or another way, but in other words, like bread is the suda, bread is like the meal. That's the whole kavias. All right. I think that's going to be it for tonight. I am okay. So good luck. I hope to see everybody tomorrow night for another night of Daf Yomi. Okay, bye.
Good night,
all right, let me end
this. This crew may not come back tomorrow. I'm just kidding.